This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.
I move that we approve tonight's agenda as written with the addendum. What is the addendum number? Addendum 16.6 added in. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Great. All in favor of the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
This evening we have Sarah Demms and her fifth grade students who will be giving us presentations. So welcome, come on up, and if you can introduce yourself into the mic when you step up as a student as well, that'd be great.
And as the teacher. Do you want me here? Is that a good place for me?
If they can talk into that one, or they could come over here. What's
best? Speak into these mics.
I think they're loud. I mean, I don't know.
If they're behind that, it'll probably pick up in the mic, which is good for the radio.
Okay.
Thanks.
There's a stool under there you can stand on.
There is. Not right there. Next to you, sir. At that. Yeah.
I think I need this, too, because I'm pretty sure. Okay, I'm Sarah Demms. I don't think I've met everyone. I'm the fifth grade teacher here this year and happy to be in Petersburg. Today we just have a couple presentations. One will be on the screen. In fifth grade we study explorers, so we did a little different twist to use some of the great technology that we have here at Petersburg in our explorer projects. And also we did a Rubik's Cube Club this semester, where students after school were able to come and learn the algorithms in order to solve Rubik's Cubes. We had about 30 kids that signed up for that, so we had a really full group. But we have Isaac Visser, and he's our resident expert on the Rubik's Cube. He was the first one to solve, and he really came through with teaching a lot of kids when they got stuck. We have Elias Ward. And we have McKinley Daw, and they're going to talk about their Explorer projects, okay?
Do you want to kick me off?
Yeah, let me get it ready. And Isaac, what he's going to do is he's going to have somebody scramble the cube, and he will solve it while we're watching the other presentation. So he's going to tell you about the cube first. Do you want to start?
Hello, my name is Isaac Litster. I am in fifth grade, and I learned how to solve the Rubik's Cube through Mrs. Demms's Rubik's Cube Club, and here's the cube. I have a solved one, so
what's your fastest time?
My fastest time solving one was 1:12. It was hard at first and seemed like it was beyond me to solve one. And it seemed impossible, but after I messed around with it, I figured out the multiple algorithms to help me solve it and help other people solve it and help me teach other people to solve it. And it was really fun to work with the Rubik's Cube. It was one of the first times that ever touched it. Besides one time when I was younger, but I learned how each piece is separate and how they rotate around the axis, which is the center color, which determines the color of each side, that all the pieces run along rails that are connected to the center pieces, which you have to align to solve the cube and make every single side the one single color.
Okay. You want to just stand there and do it?
Well, he could come out here. If he wants to come over here while we're doing the report, and people can see his moves.
Why don't you both give it to me? Because she's pretty short. There you go. You have to check.
Hello, my name is Elias Ward.
And I'm McKinley Dahl.
We are going to tell you about the Explore project we did earlier this year and the process of making it.
Mine was about Amelia Earhart.
And mine was about Henry Hudson.
The requirements for this project were...
We had to create a Powtoon. A Powtoon is a new technology that uses cartoons to help you explain things. We start with a blank slide, and everything you see was created by us in the process.
In the Powtoon, we explained our explorer's life, found our explorer's significance in history, we did research from written and online sources, learned MLA format, and added citations.
Besides that, we learned how to put a video into our Powtoon and make up a burning question that really had to make us think about what type of our person our explorer must have been.
We also learned how to graph in Excel, create a voiceover, and convert a video to ad. The process was long and challenging, but in the end we had a great time and our Powtoons were amazing. Now I believe we'll play our Powtoons on the screen.
Enjoy.
He's done.
What? You're done with the tattoo.
Oh. You didn't even start yet, Isaac.
That's awesome. That's impressive.
Who was timing?
I don't know. That was impressive.
You should have timed them, yeah.
That's awesome.
No. Let's see if I can get it.
I'll turn that off. Oh, there you go.
I'm not saying I knew how to solve them. I just taught them how to solve them. I never solved it myself. I had to have Isaac help a lot. Audio. Are we going to... Is this going to play through?
It should. Let's actually, see. That's the other... Right up there by Jay. Or maybe Casey. Do you know where the audio?
Yeah. I'm going to do that right now.
Or the... should it, is it on?
It's on. It's
you can see it's on. Okay. I think we're good. Thanks.
Hopefully we can hear it. No, I can kind of hear something.
We can hear it through the TV, but...
Do we need to turn it up on... Jay, do you want to grab that flat little
remote? Let me see if it'll...
Okay.
There you go.
Hello, my name is Henry Hudson. Do you like to hear about my voyages? I bet you do.
Henry Hudson is thought to be born sometime in the late 1500s in the towns of Hodson or Hertfordshire, which were part of the outskirts of London, England. His dad was a wealthy alderman, and his mom was named Barbara Hudson. Henry and his spouse, Catherine Hudson, had three kids named Oliver, Richard, and John. John served as a cabin boy on one of his father's expeditions. On his first expedition in 1607, Henry and his English crew set out on the galleon Hopewell. Hudson and his crew daringly sailed north through the Arctic Ocean. They hoped to reach China. Absurdly, by the end of July, he was only 575 miles from the North Pole. No explorer had ever dared to adventure this close into ice and snow in fear of death. Unfortunately, ice stopped the Hopewell. Once again, Henry Hudson convinced the same group to go on another voyage, but they were turned around once more. Unfortunately for Hudson, the crew shunned him and wouldn't sponsor him or voyage with him anymore after the second failure. Still determined, Hudson had the Dutch East India Company help him, and they gave him a new ship called the Half Moon. Unfortunately, he was once more trumped by ice. Suddenly, Hudson came up with a plan to sail northwest instead of northeast, and to discover the Northwest Passage. Since the Americas were brand new continents, not much was known about them, so many thought there must be a river cutting straight through the continent like a knife. Bring tales about this mythical strait sailed along the west coast until he found a river. This river was huge, so he was sure that he had found it. Unfortunately, around 150 miles down the river, the ship ran aground, and he had to turn back to Europe with the rest of his crew. Finally, in 1610, James I, King of England, offered him an enormous amount of money if he would find and claim the Northwest Passage for England. Once again, Hudson set off to America, but this time he sailed through present-day Hudson Strait and into present-day Hudson Bay in a ship called Discovery. Hudson and his crew sailed along the perimeter of the bay, but they still couldn't find the passage. Suddenly, winter set in and the bay froze. For 3 monotonous months, the crew huddled up to conserve warmth while others went to find food. By the time the bay melted, the crew mutinied. They thought Hudson had a secret stash of food that he kept and ate himself to survive the winter. The mutiny was led by Robert Jouett and Henry Greene, one of Hudson's former friends. The next day, they tied up Hudson's hands, threw him in a dinghy along with his son John and 7 other crewmates. They then released the dinghy and sailed back to England. Hudson and his crewmates were never seen again. However, in 1631, Captain Thomas James found the remains of a shelter assembled on Danby Island. Did this shelter belong to Hudson and his crew? We will never, ever know. Wow, here is a graph of my voyages. Why does Henry Hudson have more water named after him than any other person? Besides, he didn't even discover the Hudson River. Henry Hudson should have the Hudson River named after him because he was the first to actually take time to survey and map the area. Also, because of his exploration along the Hudson River when he was working for the Dutch East India Company, with his descriptions, the Dutch went to North America and founded the city of New York along the Ed.
Thank you for listening to this video about my voyages. Ta-ta!
Okay, we have one more, and hers is a little bit shorter, so this is the turn. Is yours really loud? Okay.
That's great, Elias.
Good job, Elias.
I'm on the watch.
Amelia Earhart. In Amelia's young years, her parents separated. When she was a teenager, she was in medical school and then moved on to flying school. Soon after flying school, Amelia Earhart broke the record of being the first woman to fly across the Atlantic Ocean solo. As you can see on the screen, this is the route that Amelia Earhart traveled before she disappeared. It is estimated that she died around this time in 1937. I'm going to tell you about Amelia Earhart's major accomplishments. Number one, she explored the land she found in flying. Number two, she was a very important woman in history and she was very influential. And number three, she proved that women can do anything men can do. The burning question is, where did Amelia Earhart go? Evidence.
Recently, a long-lost picture found in the National Archives shows people who are believed to be Earhart and her navigator, Fred Noonan, on a dock in the Marshall Islands where she was believed to have disappeared. Facial recognition technology concludes that it is very likely that the people in the photo are Earhart and Noonan. Secondly, the photo shows a Japanese ship towing a barge with what appears to be a plane measuring 38 feet long, the same length as Earhart's plane. For more than 80 years, locals of the Marshall Islands have claimed Earhart crashed there and was taken captured by the Japanese. Additionally, also in the National Archives, a report dated January 7, 1939, contains information that Earhart was a prisoner in the Marshall Islands. I believe that she couldn't have just vanished magically, but instead she most likely veered off course and crash-landed in the Marshall Islands, where she was held captive till death.
Wow. That's, she liked the conspiracy theory angle.
It's a good cliffhanger.
Well, that's it.
Excellent job. Thank you very much.
Thank
you guys are welcome
having
to stay for the rest of the meeting. If you'd like.
Great.
Do we want to call in or see?
How do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Are we calling
it
in on the computer?
The
computer?
I don't know. It won't wake up.
Oh, well. I guess we don't have to call. Is it on? So we're going to move right into our student representative report, Mr. Casey Evans.
All right. Well, we're nearing the end of the year, going into the fourth quarter next week. And for seniors, we have 46 days left. Yeah, we're all getting pretty excited and a little nervous about what's coming next. But yeah, it's a pretty busy time of year. Got a lot going on, trying to finish the year strong, and it's, yeah, we're going to have some fun. It's going to be hard, but, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exciting. Great. Do we have any correspondence, Irene?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Do we have any comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Any comments from the audience related to agenda items? None. Any comments from board members? No? All right, so we'll move into the consent agenda. The consent agenda includes 11.1, February 2018 monthly accounting reports, 11.2, February 13th regular and special meeting minutes, and 11.3, which are extra duty contracts, Brad Taylor for track and field, Jim Engel for high school baseball, and Christina Sargent for the community garden coordinator. So I move that we approve the consent agenda. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Jay. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 I think we have to do a
roll
call.
She's not on the phone,
no. She's not here yet.
It's not working.
We can send her a text. All right, Leroy, you want to your report?
I'll just put her on my phone.
All right, so we will move into 12.1, Superintendent's Report, Ms. Erica Klute-Painter. I'll text her saying that it'll be a bit. Just call her in a minute.
Okay. Well, welcome back after spring break, everybody. Yay. It's the first day of spring, right?
Is it? I thought it was tomorrow.
It's today.
Is it? I think it's today, right?
I felt like we had four seasons today.
I saw snow at my house. Hail.
That's what do we have going on? There's a lot of stuff going on. Mrs. Tolan and Mr. Dormer have a lot of things to share, so does Mr. Cabral, so I'll just kind of hit the highlights here. We are moving into gearing up for, I guess, PEAKS testing, which is the state assessment. Given to all 3rd through 9th graders this year. We are kicking off with elementary next week and then middle and high school after. This will just be the second year of this particular test, and things actually went well last year for the first round, and so we're looking forward to having the second opportunity to participate. Our kids are great about it. They all have great attitudes, and our staff works really hard to make sure that it's a good environment for them and always goes off well. We appreciate everybody's hard work to make it happen. We're also tentatively putting together some dates to talk about revisiting our strategic plan and our work groups and getting an opportunity for some overview there for all of our staff, wanting to kick off some of that this spring. So we'll keep a couple of you that were participating in that in tune on that as well. We're looking at April 6th, which is a Friday afternoon, to do an overview with staff and talk about where we're going there. So I can talk to you two more about that, Sarah and Mara. And I'm going to be at the legislative fly-in in Juneau, April 7th to the 11th. I've written a few letters of support for a few things that have been brought up, but I don't know how much of it's actually moving. Gara's bill on the $100 increase to the BSA, I don't know where that will go. My guess is that we're looking at flat funding this year again. Hopefully the decision will be made sooner than later. That would be helpful for planning. We'll see where that goes. What else is going on? I was going to have Irene talk for a little bit about Board Book, which is something that's very exciting and coming to you live next month.
Yeah, next month.
Do you want to talk about it a little bit?
I did add a little bit in the email when I sent out the board packet, but we are going to roll out next month for the board meeting. So you will be getting an email that gives you your passcode and sign in. You can go in and change it afterwards, but you'll just go in through the link. We didn't set it up yet because there's nothing for you to look at in there. I did this meeting just as a practice, and it was pretty, it looks different, you know, but I think it's going to be very helpful. People will just be able to follow the link, and it'll be on the school website as well. Anybody can look at things, and I can adjust to who sees what and, you know, what we put on there. So I think it'll be a learning curve for me, but once we get it, I think it'll be very helpful. It'll all be stored. We can revert back to other meetings, use other meetings, and just plunk it in there and then change it up. It's just going to be really, really convenient. Yeah, a lot smoother, and it works for minutes too. Everything will be in there.
So the emails that you send out the Friday before, will it now just be a link? Like,
yes.
Just saying, go in and check?
Yep.
And so then people that you notify otherwise, like KFSK and whatnot, they'll have a sign-in as well? Or
They may be in a specific group, so they may not need a password, but there's a public link on the website, and then there's different user groups. And so I'll be talking with Nick next week after this meeting, you know, just to set those things up and determine what groups, how we're going to set it up. So,
okay.
Yeah.
It's just nice to have it all archived there. We've talked about it. Sharon actually talked about it a little bit before, too, and felt like it wasn't something she wanted to make the change to where she was, but looking at it at, through AASB.
Yeah, AASB.
So that's helpful, too, because it's all part of the same little system.
It'll be fun.
It will be very exciting.
They have trainings at the conferences that we go to. So. Mm-hmm. Now we'll have to sit in. Anything?
Well, we got it. We can do it. It'll be great. And then I was going to give a brief update on the emergency meeting that we had last week, but I can wait till down there, or I can talk about it now. Either way. We had our meeting, district-wide meeting for the Crisis Response Emergency Planning Committee on March 1st, and that's our group, our larger group, that we gather at least once a year, sometimes twice, hopefully not very often, because we don't have to meet if there's no crisis, which is good. But for just the emergency planning component, and of course, especially because of the recent shooting events, and you know, another one this morning, unfortunately, in Maryland. So lots of conversations going on about that and updates and meeting with our local emergency planning personnel here in Petersburg, talking about scheduling, working with Sergeant Kerr and the police department about bringing in ALICE training to the district. That's the Run, Hide, Fight training that we've already, the district has received training in that before, but the person that we worked with that was trained in that is no longer here. The consultant that we were working with, so he's gone. The police department would like to have some training. They're talking with school districts, churches, the hospital I know has a couple of people already trained, but if there's other people interested, we need at least 20 to bring it here. And then it's a train-the-trainer model, so the idea being that we would have people in each building that could help with the trainings individually in each school, and then there's some follow-up training for that every other year. So it's training meant for people that are not law enforcement people, really. You know, it's meant for people who are trying to figure out the best way to do that in vulnerable locations like schools and churches and hospitals. So not a fun topic, but unfortunately it is
necessary.
The world that we live in right now, and so it's necessary, so we're moving forward with coordinating with that, and always appreciate the local people who volunteer to come to those meetings and participate in that. Ministerial Association and lots of local support there. So I think that is enough for me.
All right.
I don't see down here. So where are we at with the new construction project?
The food service renovation?
Yes.
Well, I was actually going to address, but I can do it now.
Oh.
Either way, we wanted to talk a little bit about it during Karen's budget revision because there's some specific things we can tie to money and then timelines.
Okay.
Do you want to wait till then? Or?
That's whatever.
Okay.
Better view.
Perfect.
I have a question.
Okay.
What about the bus?
It's here!
No way!
We
want to
see it.
I can't believe I didn't add that to the agenda, like its own item.
The bus tour.
We needed
the
bus
is
tour.
Here. We
or the drive
to
around
noise
the block.
Parade.
Yeah, you should have had Elise's.
Sorry.
It's been on the agenda almost every month, though.
We've asked about it almost every month.
Yeah, we've
it's here.
We've taken
this
our turns asking.
I want to call it the Magic School Bus, but it, you know, that literally was shipped and then shipped to
Whittier. Thank you.
And then shipped back to Seattle and then. Finally, anyway, it is here. It is beautiful. I actually was going to text all of you when Dan rolled up with it.
You're just too excited.
I was
you're
so excited.
Yeah, I just couldn't handle it.
So
where is it
you.
Parked?
Well, it's
in the back.
We can't officially drive it yet because we don't have all the paperwork, the titles.
Exciting.
That'll take another 6 months.
But it's here. It's
another year.
Lovely. It's the handicapped access, which is one of the reasons why we purchased it. It's very slick the way it's set up. I mean, it's designed in a way that really can be very functional, I think, and pretty easy to make it handicap accessible and then remove it if you don't need it. And it's open for storage, which is
great.
It's really very nice. So Thank you. That was a good
one. All right. Moving into a principal's report, Principal Terry Tool.
Well, good evening. This year has just gone by so fast, and here we are at the end of spring break, coming back from spring break, and it just seems like it goes even faster. So I guess we just have to hang on. we had our Hawaiian Hangout that was sponsored by Partners in Education. It was a super fun evening, and students and families came, participated, and had a great time. I wasn't able to go, but I heard good things, so lots of thanks out to our PI volunteers and our student helpers. And one thing I wanted to mention is that I'm very proud that we have evolved from having trays and trays of cookies and punch to having trays of fruit and water. And that's something that started with Superintendent Clute Pater when she was in the principal's job. And we've just been able to build on that, and it's been a really good thing. So I was proud to hear that. We had our Dr. Seuss celebration for Read Across America, the Cat in the Hat, also known as Superintendent Painter, came and read a song. There was book. There was thing one and thing two, and Stedman Eagle showed up. So it was really fun for kids and adults as well.
I can't believe you all fit into the library.
It was awesome.
Yes, we all fit into the library. It was very cozy and nice. We liked that. We also had winners for our accelerated reading goals. The Masons have sponsored this for the past few years, and we thank them for that. Ethan Bertinoli and Rebecca Fisher were our winners this trimester, and they were super excited. So it's a good incentive, and we sure appreciate having the Masons do that. Scholastic Book Fair was during our conferences, and a huge thanks goes to Michelle Tetreau and those who helped her. I know Elizabeth Poole and Melissa Gregoire, as well as others, put a lot of time into that. It was very successful. And a thank you to all those that came to our conferences. They were well attended, and teachers appreciate families taking time to come in and visit about their students. I was able to go to the ASTE conference. It was lots of fun and just lots of information, but we had several winners in our district, and we had three first place winners who each won $100. That was Logan Saraday, Teddy Volk, and Samara Olson. So we were really well represented and very proud of their work that they had done and submitted. As was mentioned, we have state testing coming up next week for grades 3 through 5. And just a reminder for parents to try to get kids well rested and well fed. They can come to breakfast at 7:45, and snacks will be provided at no cost. On next Tuesday night, that's March 27th, down at the harbor, there is going to be a migrant evening. This is for qualified families for the migrant ed program. If you're not sure if you qualified, contact the office and we can let you know. But Liza Warmack has put together a great evening of information. Coast Guard is going to be helping. There's food down at the Salty Pantry, so we hope to have a good turnout for that. Coming up this month for spring activities, Kindergarten Ready is April 5th at 6:30 for all kindergartners and their parents, all next year's kindergartners. This will be the registration, so they need to bring their immunization records and birth certificate that we will make copies of. And on April 11th at 6:30, we have our exploratory night for 4th and 5th graders. It's always well attended and a fun night for kids to show some of the things they've been doing throughout the year. And we have our in-service on April 12th and 13th, so there will be no school for students. But lots of good learning for teachers. So that's what we've got going on. Is there any questions?
Great. All right. Principal Rick Dormer.
Good evening. Hi. We have busy time of year, of course, as we get back from spring break. It's a great spring break. Look like kids came back actually pretty energetic. And right, Casey? Kids came back. Some kids came back energetic. But we certainly hit the, you know, hit the ground running, and I know this part of the year goes by really fast. It's an exciting time. Just so many cool things going on from kindergartners all the way up to seniors. So Casey, getting ready to for the next big step. And just more proof of how fast we're going. The end of quarter three is this Friday. So next Monday, next week, we'll be in the final quarter of the year, which seems fast, but it's great. In the middle school, McAuliffe Middle School, of course, we'll have an activity night this Friday, which is a fun night. Parents are welcome to stop by 6:30 to 8:30 here in the Commons, do some fun things and a little dance and just celebrate the hard work over the last quarter. So that's fun. Obviously, we just wrapped up conferences a couple weeks ago, and again, thank you so much again for all the folks that came out to conferences and stopped by and chatted with our teachers. Thank you again to the staff, the teachers who worked some long days there, because they believe it's really important to connect with the families and the kids there, excuse me, and review the learning that's been happening over the last several months since we talked to them in November, so thank you for that. As the superintendent said, we are getting into PEAKS testing, and the high school's a little tricky. The middle school's nice, straightforward, because we're testing everybody in the school, so you set it up. But the high school, now the test only goes through freshmen, which is, you know, in the old days you used to do freshmen and sophomores. Sophomores will still take a science test. The sophomores will also take the pre-ACT, and then the juniors are going to take the ACT all during that same week. The seniors, you do have to come to school. You're going to ask. I know, look at the face I get from Casey. Yes. You will probably have some time in there where everyone will be testing. You may not be here, but schedule isn't set for all that yet, but that's all happening not next week, but the week after. We do it a week after the elementary school. So a lot of stuff going on with testing and lots of different areas when we talk about ACT and PEAKS and stuff, but I just watch for information, parents in the bulletin, and schedules coming out. It's a little tricky, like I said, in the high school. What's coming up? April's, again, a busy month as we are getting close to wrapping up March. Those in-service days can be really exciting, and spending a day talking about MAP testing and learning, just as we continue to get better at it, how to take that data and really translate into what it means for student learning and how to support them in those core areas. Music Fest, which is a big, huge event in Southeast Alaska, and a lot of our students participate in that. That's around those same days in mid-April. Art Fest is in April, which is also a really fun thing for kids to go and just do some great days of workshops. So April's a busy month for a lot of activities. That's when we'll start getting into those. I'm stealing Jamie's report. I'm getting dirty looks. I can feel it back in my head. But that's also when those track meets and those baseball games will start up too. We're kind of in a slow period here for a couple weeks until those sports start competing. So it's pretty cool. A lot of time in, and thank you again to the ladies in front, Cheryl and Sarah and Mara, a little bit talking about the hiring committees. We've been busy talking. You're going to approve Mr. Shumway hired here, which is going to be a great addition. And then we're continuing to hire, to interview to prepare to hopefully hire some more wonderful staff members to join. I'm already great staff. So it's a lot of time, and we know, all of you have been on those committees before. You know, it's looking at them, and it's usually we have to do interviews well after hours because the people we're interviewing are on contract and they're teaching during the day, so it is a little tricky and it's late nights, but we really appreciate it. We've got classified and we've got certified staff on there, again, school board members, and so it's a lot of people coming together to make these really important decisions, so thank you. So everything involved in that. Can I talk about poetry out loud? Did you?
Do it.
Okay. I think I actually talked about the Poetry Out Loud competition the last 2 months because I like it so much. And then Elisa Larson wins the whole thing, the state champion in Poetry Out Loud, which is, I know you probably heard it. We had a noise parade on Monday, which was awesome after school there, and you probably heard that coming through. And just so excited for it. Just what a great thing. And again, you can watch it. It's on YouTube. I think it's still on our channel. It's interesting to watch in that crazy room up in Juneau. But again, just so excited for her. And again, Mrs. Cotta and Ms. Lenhard and Ms. Braza that do the work getting the kids prepared, because we obviously compete well and we're the state champ, so we'll take it. So congratulations to Lisa. It's awesome. Any questions for me? There's a lot more going on, but it seemed like a good summary. Okay, thanks.
Well, you don't really have anything to say. No, I kind of talk to Mr. Weisshorn.
Where did Brooklyn go? Cheryl was asking about Northwest All.
Oh, yeah. My daughter went the week prior to spring break, went down for the Northwest Choir Director. She made the All Northwest, so she got to compete in a choir of 148 girls all from Montana, Idaho, I think Idaho. Definitely Oregon, Washington. There were five or six kids from Alaska down there. Yeah, it's really awesome. So she, I mean, they're impressing us. They trained really hard. She, I mean, she was getting up at 7 and go to bed at 10 or 11 and just singing the whole time. And then got to perform for the Liverpool. That's cool. So went down and watched the performance. In Portland, Maryland.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great. Director of Activities, Mr. Jamie Cabral.
Rick said it all. All right. The busy time of the year is coming up again. We just finished our Region 5 tournament. Fantastic event. Erica Klute Painter has got to join a region tournament for the first time as a parent, so hope she had a blast there. It was a great host community. Ketchikan did a fantastic job putting that tournament on. If you can imagine trying to house out 675 kids for 5-6 days, that's what it was like. But it was great. It was amazing. Our basketball boys got the second seed, went to state. Girls basketball had a great run, came up short. Girls, our cheer squad, fourth straight year as the Region 5 champions. So congratulations to them and the coaches. They did a fantastic job. And kind of the cool one at the end of it, when we do our awards ceremony, there's a big one that we always like to kind of look out there. And the region honors every single senior from every program that has a cumulative GPA of 3.0 or higher. And we had 21 seniors out there that had a cumulative GPA of 3.0 or higher as throughout their high school career. And the floor, we had to do two lines because the floor was just filled with students. Wow. Just, I mean, it was kind of impressive where the line just keeps going and the names just keep rolling. But 21 of our 67 kids that we had down there, our seniors, were all academic. So kind of cool. Just a reminder that they're students and doing a lot of work. And then we had our Ocean Science Bowl team that was up in Seward. And they had a fantastic meet up there. They were right in the mix. I was getting text messages from Joni while they were in the mix. And I think our team Farfetch finished sixth. And then we had our other team that was short on members, our team Title. I think that finished 16th. And the big dogs got knocked out this year. And Cordova actually won it this year. So there is a change in the ranking happening at the National Ocean Science Bowl. It's like, oh. It was kind of weird, but it was really good. Like Mr. Dorber said, Art Fest coming up soon. That's a good one. Klawak is hosting that one this year. And I think we had 18 at the meeting. Wow. 18 students interested in Art Fest, so pretty cool. They'll be going over to Klawak in April, late April, so pretty cool there. And then our spring activities are rolling. Oh, and wrestling, our middle school activities with wrestling finished up, and they did a great job at the Stinky King tournament. Only Schoenbar and us were able to get there. I don't think the other ones showed up. Yeah, well, they just looked too bad on that one. So we got them there, though, so that was good. But, yes, we have, goodness, middle school volleyball starting right now. We got about 26 kids out there. And then high school baseball, high school track and field is rolling right now. And people don't believe us that we still have snow here. Ketchikan has no snow on the ground there. Sitka has no snow on the ground there. It's us and Juneau that are just loving it. Took a ride to the baseball field to see how far we are away from getting on there. We're far away. quite a bit of ice out there still. We tried, but it didn't work. And then, yes, our Poetry Out Loud state champ, Elisa Larson. So it was kind of fun when she walked into the building in Ketchikan. She came a little bit later down to regionals, and we're going, state champ in the building, state champ. And so it was kind of funny. And everyone was like, woo, clapping for her. So it was pretty cool. And also we had our Title VII trip. I don't think we reported on that since we left, and we went over to Sitka, and it was awesome. Just an amazing trip for them, and we had three new people, and we kind of almost did the same exact type of scenario of all of our days, just flip-flop, because we had the Elizabeth Bradovich day was on Friday, and last year was on Thursday. So, but we got to do a couple new things to where we got to visit the Sitka Sound Science Center and look at their hatchery, and it's a smaller hatchery than what we have here, but we actually got to tour through the hatchery and see all the coho and see little itty-bitty baby salmon with the eggs still stuck to them, and the kids thought that was just amazing, just to see the whole process of going from eggs to little fish and then going back in, but just a cultural piece for them, kind of saying, hey, this is all your stuff, and going back to the totem poles again to go visit there at the park. But the big the big story, if you ever ask the kids, came when we were getting a tour at the Alaska State Museum, and we had a private tour that we actually went over time. They were closing, but the director was giving us the tour, and we had to drag kids out of there because they didn't want to leave yet, so they wanted to look at all the different things. But there's a Russian plate back from, I don't know what the year was, I can't remember, that supposedly there's 20 of these plates that the Russians put out in Southeast Alaska, all through Alaska, to claim, this is for Russia, this is our spot. There's one that they found, and it's in Sitka. So there was one at the State Museum that's on the floor if you ever get to tour it before you get into the new section before Russians showed up to Alaska. And we asked, is that a real one? And she goes, no, it's a replica. And she goes, the real one is in Sitka. And we're going, that's where we're going next. So she goes, where is it? It's at the bishop's house. So we went and we made a tour. We tried to find it. Then the lady from the Park Museum set up the tour for us at the bishop's house, which is one of four bishop places in the U.S. is in Sitka. So you guys got to take a tour of it. So the whole time the kids are just going, oh, yes, we're going to see it. We're going to see it. We go through the whole thing. And she said, by the way, the plate's downstairs. And we go, all right, we're going. So this was like a three-day mission the kids were on. It was insane. And this was like, the hype was up. We went through the house, and they're going, can we get down to the basement? Yeah, you know, we got to go through the whole tour, and we have to stay on the carpets because you can't walk on the wood, going through what the bishop's house looks like and, you know, everything going on there. And we get down to the bottom, and she goes, by the way, that's a replica. And the kids are like, no. And she goes, we have it here. It's in our vault. We don't bring it out. And we went, oh, come on. It's like the Declaration of Independence. So they started going back to the movie National Treasure. Just bring it up in the thing with the temperature thingies. And they go, we would have to hire security and do all this thing. And they're going, please, you can lock us out and just show it to us through the window. The kids are just begging her to see it. But it's just this plate. And so they've only found one. Supposedly there's 19 more around, but no one's ever found them. People have been looking for them, but very interesting, and I've never seen them hooked on just this one little metal plate. So if you look up Russian, like, I forget what it was. It was like Russian claiming plates, I think, is what it was. Super cool. That's their big story, and Raptor Center was awesome. They got to learn about some of the all the birds. It was snowing a lot that day, so they got to visit with a snowy white owl named Kigik. A big bald eagle named Sitka. She was huge. And they were taking selfies with it. So it was pretty fun. Kids had a blast, though. And they actually walked in the parade this year. So they walked in the parade with the elders, did a lot of stuff, went over to Edgecombe, met with some people, learned about how to make... There's a certain type of tea mixed with honey that they tried. They were trying to learn how to make. One of the native gals was trying to teach them how to do some stuff. And we also had free fry bread at Mount Edgecombe, so it was kind of good. But, yeah, it was a great trip, so we'll do a little presentation for them. It was great. And then we got our spelling bee champ, Kara Newman. She's heading up to Anchorage here soon. We also have our geography bee champs. Mackenzie Morrison is heading up April 5th. And then also Ella Kendall. Ella Kendall's going up, too. So we've got three kids going to go up and represent our school district up there as well. And then our state recognition, and Rick and I have been working on some state recognition things just to change it up a bit. And what's been our typical state recognition piece of what's been happening is on Sundays when a team wins a state championship, we have the fire trucks at the airport and then we start to go. So what we kind of noticed was kind of a lackluster on some Sundays to where it's, okay, we're here Sunday afternoon at the jet, not everyone's here. How can we get the school more involved? So kind of a plan that we came up with was we'll find a day to make an assembly out of it at the end of the school day and have it right after school so we kind of don't impact those days. Well, I'm out doing something. I have this trip. We have another group going here, a couple students going here. So we kind of do a little bit more of a recognition with our whole school population because it's really kind of a school celebration too, not just for the team, because it kind of felt off a little bit. And it worked. Unfortunately, it worked pretty good for our volleyball team with our one kid who was still up in Anchorage. It worked really well. We went, well, maybe we kind of move to this and we do an assembly, recognize them from the student body, and then as soon as the school's out, we have the fire trucks here, and then they kind of go, and kids can be going for kind of follow them. So kind of putting that into our coach's handbook for how we do some celebrations on that one too. So worked on some morning and things of that sort. And it worked well with Elisa. And so I had some kids jump in, and she kind of felt strange going by herself. I said, no, you better take some friends. She goes, oh, yeah. So she has some friends kind of go with her, too. So, but that's kind of the whole thing we're going to do. So we won't do it right after they get off the plane, kind of tired. We're going to do a little celebration at the school first, have an assembly with the whole student body, and then do our noise parade right after that. So that's how we're going to do our noise parades from now on. So anything else you want to feed into that? Is that good?
Yeah.
Yes. Pastries with Parents, 5:15 on Thursday. So come on by another time to talk, and we're going to be involving the fifth grade parents here soon. Soon. We're going to have them come over to do Pastries with Parents with us as the transition starts to happen in that lovely time. It's fantastic. Fantastic years. Best years of their life. Middle school. It's great.
Oh, that's how I remember it.
Oh, it's the best. Nothing better than 6th, 7th, 8th grade. Yeah. Yeah, my 6th grade is loving it. So, I think that's all I got.
All right.
That's all I got. First home baseball game, April 20th, 21st. We got Ketchikan.
And this ice and snow is gone.
Yeah, if you want to help, come shovel, let me know. And Jay Lister is going to be our head umpire.
Nope.
Questions you got? Okay. Awesome. All right.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Thank you.
All right, school board committee reports. Curriculum and technology. Sarah, do you have anything
to
report?
I don't have anything to report. Nope.
Crisis and policy. Cheryl, do you have anything?
Nope.
When is the next policy meeting?
We don't have one scheduled yet. We're getting through what the updates that we need to have. And we'll probably do one, I'm guessing, in May.
Okay.
Yeah.
Facilities, Jay?
Haven't had a meeting, but it sounds like we're going to be talking more about the construction shortly.
Yeah.
Okay. Legislative, there isn't really anything to report. I mean, there's talk going on in committees about things that would affect education, but not really any movement. If you are writing to your legislators, I would just encourage you to tell them to make a plan. Whatever you feel that plan should be, but encourage them to make something, get it out, get it done in 90 days. That's really what will help our school district the most. If we're not going to get everything that we hope for, at least knowing ahead of time, knowing well before our budget is required to be turned into the state. So if you're writing to your legislators, tell them to get it done. Get it done in 90 days. No, don't keep us hanging. Negotiations. We just went through the round of negotiations with the ATP. We'll be voting on that a little bit later in the meeting. And then we'll be gearing up next year for negotiations with classified staff. And Janine, we were not able to get on the phone, so...
I'm going to just try you right now.
Oh, I told her. Special recognitions. Do we have any special recognitions?
I think you heard all the special recognitions.
I know. We have quite a few recognitions. No old business. Moving on to new business. We have 16.1, FY16 spring budget revision. Director of Finance Karen Quitzlin will provide an overview of the changes, and she will answer any and all of the questions that we have regarding finances in the district.
Okay, so I do have a presentation for our fiscal 18 spring budget revision. That's the last slide.
Can we
go to the first one?
No.
Yeah.
We're going to work backwards.
We're working backwards. Just.
All right, so I am going to move that we approve the FY18 spring budget revision as presented so that we can discuss it. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, all right, Karen.
So I did send out an overview, and I also put it at each one of your spots, so if anybody wants to grab one, there are copies up there by Irene. I am actually not going to go through everything line by line, but I am going to give an overview, and then I want to actually spend a little bit of time talking about some of our other fund balances that we have in the district, because we've not really actually ever addressed this in detail. So this is the start of our fiscal 18 spring budget revision, which is a little bit earlier than usual, which I'm very happy about. Erica, if you want to go to the next screen. I do want to point out enrollment trends. This was the same slide that we used in the fall budget revision. The one change that we have is that we had originally thought we would end up with 449 students for fiscal 19. And what we're looking at right now is about 437. And this does not have anything to do with this budget right now, but it is important information as we work through our fiscal 19 budget. And we're looking at approximately a 6% decrease in our student enrollment for fiscal 19. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, because that was a little change from the fall revision.
And we feel like we have a pretty good handle on kindergartners coming in right now, of knowing who those people are.
We have 32 right now.
Oh.
And that's good. That's better than 26 that we were thinking.
So. And I think I had 31 written down on my list, but we will relook at these numbers again, because what we're doing is tallying the people that we know, the students that we know who have left the district, so we can actually, I would rather budget conservatively.
Yes.
And so I would go with a lower number of students so that we could make sure that we can do a balanced budget or a somewhat balanced budget.
What's our threshold on two school funding?
It's 425.
Okay.
And that 6% right there, if we do come in at that, mm-hmm. 5%, I have said before that the foundation funding formula is very complicated. And I'm repeating that again. What happens when we go to 5% is hold harmless kicks in. Mm-hmm. So basically, they say, okay, your funding, your enrollment numbers have dropped significantly, which would mean that your funding would drop significantly. So they're going to put in a hold harmless, which basically makes us, it's a slope and it's a drop is a, instead of dropping right off the cliff. So. And I wanted to put up current staffing. This was also in the fall revision, and it's still the same. We still have 41 certified teachers, 34 paraprofessionals, and 7 exempts. Of those, we have 79 of our staff members are full-time, and we have 3 part-time. So. And this is the copy of the paper summary that I provided for you. This budget revision is much more substantial than the fall budget revision. In the fall budget revision, I did not adjust payroll or liabilities. And the reason for that is when I'm looking at the budget, I tend to nickel and dime it. I want to make every little thing match. And I opted to not do that because I do that in the fall, and then in the spring I have to go back and change it. Yeah. So I thought I would just wait and to look at payroll until we got to the spring, when we actually had a better idea of what our actuals are going to come in as. We do have a reduction in our state sources of funding of $196,000, and I will talk about that on the next slide. And then we also have reduced our expenditures by $172,648. So when we start out our beginning fund balance, when we look in the financials, and I know that you guys all look at them all the time like I do, that ending fund balance at the end of our fiscal year is actually reported at a much higher dollar amount. And what I do is I take out the prepaids, because we are allowed to prepay some of our expenditures in June that are actually expenses that we will see the following year. So I'm always adjusting that, what's now our beginning fund balance, for those prepaids, and we had $240,000 of prepaids. I had the lightning bulb go off, because I kept thinking, why am I not getting our ending fund balance correct? Well, it's that prepaid. We've already prepaid it, but we have to expense it in the current fiscal year. So my proposal to you is these changes in the decrease in the revenue, which is actuals, so I mean, we don't have a choice. We have to accept the decrease in the revenue and the decrease in expenditures, which would leave our ending fund balance at just over $1 million. We are limited to how much we can carry forward to 10%. So I'm proposing that we plan to do another $240,000 of prepaid items in June, which we've historically done since I've been here, and then our ending fund balance would end in $819,000. So a little bit more detail there on how funding works, because when we're presenting this budget to you, we're the expectation is every single dollar in this expenditure is going to be spent. That doesn't happen. I mean, we can get close. We try and get that variable as close as we can. So we have a little bit of a buffer if we don't spend $8,466,000. We have almost $50,000 wiggle room for our ending fund balance. So I don't know if that's too complicated. Erica, do you want to chime in on any of that?
No, I think that was fine. Just, okay. Do you want to talk about what some of the prepaids are?
Oh, yeah, sure. Our prepaids, we always prepay our health insurance for July because it's due July 1st, and so we don't want them to stop our health insurance coverage. So we always prepay for that, and we always prepay for our property insurance, our insurance for the school district. We prepay that. It's a large amount, and we get the bill the beginning of June, and we want to get that taken care of right away. And so that's historically what we have done for prepaids is those two items. And that's what I would anticipate we would do in fiscal 19 as well. At the end of this year, we will prepay that July health insurance and then the insurance for the district. Okay. So changes in revenue. So when we first started our budget last spring, we were coming in with our revenue at approximately, bless you, $8.5 million. And we had based that on a 2.5% reduction in foundation. Our projected student enrollment was much higher when we created this original revenue portion of our budget. In the fall revision, we increased our state revenue to 8.6, and that was because we came out with flat funding, but we didn't get back as much as we had thought we would because of the fact that we had a decrease in enrollment. Well, when I went to verify my numbers with the state, it turns out that I had a formatting error in my foundation funding. I had old numbers from the Hold Harmless page that was in there, so Hold Harmless kicked in, but we don't really get it. So I confirm with the state, these are our actual dollars that we are receiving, so it's approximately $130,000 of the decrease in the state funding is a result of the formatting error, and the rest of it is based on the PERS and TERS on behalf amounts, and those are based on actual salaries. So there's over budgeted salaries for our aides in our budget because we always budget conservatively, and so then that money has to also be pulled out. And it's not money that we actually see. The on-behalfs, we never receive that as actual dollar money, but it's reportable money. So, and then what I did at the very bottom of this slide is I actually put in what we actually spent in fiscal 17, just for comparison, so you can see where we are in what we actually spent last year and what I project we're going to spend this year with the spring revision. So we're looking at approximately a 2.77 decrease in our total funding. Is there any questions about that particular slide?
I think that's the part, too, though, just to reiterate or remind or explain or whatever the word is, but that when we keep talking about flat funding, it's not really flat. And I think that's just something that, it's important to make that known. People, it's not flat. There's a reduction, so
right.
It's just because of the way that it works. So.
Okay, and then I highlighted the changes in expenditures from fiscal 17 to fiscal 18, and I just want to point out a couple of things. We see a 26% increase in our school administration support services. That has to do with me cleaning up the budget for voiceover IP. That's our communications, our phone system. How historically it's been is we have, it's budgeted out to like five different account codes, and I really wanted to just clean it up because it's hard for me to actually track it for budgeting purposes. So I put it into school administration support services. That is the secretary's budget. It's a lot easier for me to track it that way. So that's an increase of 26% because the voiceover IP, the contract's about $26,000 this year. District admin, there is an increase in district administration. That's legal fees. And that's really the highlights. I guess the other part I would point out is our other financing uses. You can see last year we actually transferred almost $389,000 out. This year I'm still proposing that we make a transfer out into our kitchen remodel project, but it's $120,000. And that is basically, that bottom line is the difference in our state funding from last year to this year. Mm-hmm. And that will become important too. As we're moving forward, we're operating much more within our revenue. But we have been planning for this fiscal crisis for 6 years. And we've been doing a lot of planning along the lines with this. And that's one of the reasons why we're going to talk about some of our other fund balances here at the very end of the presentation. Any questions about this particular slide?
The reduction in operations and maintenance of the plant, is that from the cost savings that we've seen?
Yep.
With some of the upgrades that we've done, like the boilers and the...
Well, it's twofold. So one thing is I always over budget in those areas because it's hard to predict what kind of winter we're going to have. So in our electricity and in our heating fuel, those are always over budgeted. It's a comfort thing for conservative budgeting purposes, mm-hmm. because we never want to come in over on that one. So we are transferring money out of Dan's budget, and that's the exact reason. The other is that the borough is giving us a better rate on our electricity, so we are seeing a cost saving. And of course Dan is super efficient in running the building, so those things have worked definitely to our advantage, and that's why there's such a large decrease.
With the 26,000 that went into the school administration support services, what category did that come out of?
The voiceover IP.
I mean, you said you...
Oh, yeah. That came out... Well, it came out of school administration, and it came out of the... it came out of the district administration and school administration.
But it was a new cost between...
It's a new cost, yep. This is a new contract that we had. We had it last year. We actually funded it out of a capital project last year.
Okay.
This is now... So we had two capital projects last year that are now being absorbed into our general fund. And one of them is the Infinite Visions, which is our software program that we now... The financial software program. That's now being built into my budget. And the voiceover IP is also being absorbed into the general fund. And the way it was originally set up, it was all over the place, and for simplicity I put it to the building secretary, basically the offices. And so that is a cost that we will see every year, and it's not E-rate eligible. In the past we had our voice services were E-rate eligible. This is the last year. They phased it out. The federal government has phased that out. Mm-hmm. So.
But that'll have an annual cost of $26,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What's the cost on the software program a year?
Oh, boy. I want to say
$10,000. Mm-hmm. After the initial outlay.
But we've also seen savings in salaries, too. So it's very efficient.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions there?
So I did actually kind of highlight some of the changes in expenditures. There's definitely been a decrease in certified salaries for the grant positions. Again, conservative budgeting. We start our very first budget for the school year out with our grant positions funded in the general fund because we haven't received those grant awards, and so it's a little bit risky to just assume that we're going to receive them. And it really worked to our benefit this year because there was a lot of changes with the consolidated grant and positions that we had previously funded with grants we did not. But it all worked out just fine. We had enough that had that were grant-funded positions, and then the new hires that we brought in, their salaries were less than our retired staff that left the district. Decrease in classified salaries and subs. I always over budget on the classifieds and on the sub budgets. And again, that's conservative budgeting, but it's also because some things we just don't know at the end of the school year. When we're not rehiring or hiring teachers, we're hoping to fill in some of those gaps with classified staff. And we're actually under budget with our classified staff for this year. So a decrease in the payroll liabilities, those are based on the actual salaries. There are small increases in this spring revision to the teaching supply budget so that they can start to plan for fiscal 19. There's an increase in the tech budget to upgrade servers, an increase in school admin to streamline the expenses for voiceover IP, increase in district admin for legal fees, an increase in district admin support for auditing fees and implementing electronic time cards in July 2018, a decrease in maintenance and operations for over budgeting and efficiencies in electricity and heating fuel, and a decrease in activities and payroll liabilities. I'd actually put Jamie's health insurance in there when it shouldn't have been in there, so that's a correction. And then the transfer of $120,000 into the food service renovation project. So those are really the major changes. Okay, so other financing uses. This is not an area that we've really spent very much time talking about, and I'm so excited to talk about it tonight. When I'm looking at our financials, I'm always looking at our fund balances as of June 30th, but they carry over to July 1st. So the other financing uses is very important as we move forward, because typically in most districts, and including our own, there are two programs that are actually typically funded through the general fund, and that's the food service program and that's student transportation. I said earlier that, you know, we've been planning for this fiscal crisis for a while. And our food service program, currently the fund balance is almost $199,000. So we will not have to transfer funds into that program for the next few years. We know last year it was in the black. We don't know what this year is going to be. We can't anticipate that it will always be in the black, because historically we've had to transfer between $30,000 and $50,000 into the program. But it has a healthy fund balance, which is great for us moving forward as we're planning for what is flat funding, which isn't really flat funding. So the other program is student transportation, and that fund balance is $101,000. We do receive state funding for our student transportation. We receive $192,676, but our contract amount is $198,000. Then we do other trips that I budget approximately $10,000 for. Those are the trips out to Banana Point for activities. They're the trips for the school kids to go to the hatchery or to go to Sandy Beach. We pay for those trips out of this fund as well. So with these projections that I have, which are very close to last year's, our ending fund balance will be approximately $86,000. So we've dipped into that one a little bit, and we don't know if we will need to dip into food service. But they're healthy fund balances. They can carry us forward for a few years.
Just for sports events and stuff as well, or is this just to get kids to school, basically?
It's for... It's
the 198 is for the regular bus contract.
All of them.
And yeah, then it's not for... It's not for coming like out of the bar, like, it's to go pick up those other teams that come off the road.
That's not funded through activities. It's funded through this
right.
fund.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Airport runs, Banana Point runs.
But not under the contract, correct? That's under the.
That's the other trips.
The contract is just daily school bus.
That's the regular.
Yep.
Bus.
Yeah.
Those are good questions. Are there more? Because, I mean...
She wants to talk about it.
I do.
Do we charge other schools to go pick them up from that point? Or
no.
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 Do they charge us when we go to their place?
No.
No.
Okay.
However, some schools are getting to the point where they're going to charge them if they send a bus and then the team tells the driver, oh, we don't need a ride, we have a ride. They still pay for the driver. So we're not one of those schools, and nor has a school ever done that to us, but it's happened in other places too, where
that's
we send a bus and pick up 20 kids and, oh, no, we're good. You're still paying that bus driver that hour run. So it's happened.
I know when they go like Ketchikan or something like that, I noticed that they have chartered buses from, they're not their school buses, they're chartered vans and chartered buses.
Right.
Is that school district paying for that?
Or their school district pays for that. That's, so their vans actually come. So you see like Ketchikan char on the side of the bus. It's got the big fish on it. And activities is spelled incorrectly on it. You look real good at it. You'll notice it on the print.
That's hilarious.
Those are school district vehicles that some business donated for to the school district.
Because it's called activities on.
So, but they're all school district vehicles.
Oh, they're okay. Yeah. I thought they were all private.
Wait, it's just a donation of what company came in and donated.
I mean, those cruise ships.
I think one's a big sporting lodge.
Yeah, I see the sporting lodge. I'm like, I wonder who's paying for it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep, absolutely. It's interesting in every district.
Right. I mean, we basically don't have any. There's no competition with contract.
No, we don't.
Here. I mean, really, across Alaska, I don't know that there's like that. Any competition anywhere for bus service, but.
Probably Anchorage.
Definitely there they do. Maybe even Juneau, I don't know.
Pursuit Transportation.
Okay, and then the other financing uses that we have are actually our capital funds. And so I just wanted to let you guys know what our fund balances were as of July 1st for our capital funds. We have some undesignated funds of $582,000. Our ADA compliance fund has $376,000. We actually transferred money last year into that particular capital fund, knowing that we have the playground coming up and knowing we have a lot of ADA needs that need to be addressed at the school district. Infinite Visions, that's a software program that I was telling you about. There's $23,000 remaining in that. The Voice over IP phone system has $52,000 remaining in that. We have carpet replacement of $90,000. That actually has to do with a timing issue. It's very hard for Dan to get the carpets done in June for us to actually put it into our general fund. So we decided that the easiest thing to do would be to create a capital account, and then because there's a rotation on what rooms get their carpet replaced. Vehicle replacement, as of July 1st, it was $128,000. It's about half that now with the purchase of that new the new bus. Our kitchen remodel, again, we've been planning for this for 5 or 6 years. There's $385,000 in it. And concrete, which is a much-needed capital project, has $51,000 in it. So the kitchen remodel CIP project has been approved for this fiscal year. And so the grant amount that we will receive is $869,000, almost $970,000. And part of the requirements for this CIP project is that there is the recipient's participating share of $522,000. The project total is almost $1.5 million. So the district has to come up with a $522,000 participating share before we can get a certain amount into the actual project. It's one of the requirements of deed for us to move forward with this.
Even though we've already put money into it, that doesn't count?
We can put it towards, we can apply for reimbursement for some of it. But the biggest glitch for us right now is that, you know, we were poised to have this project happen in 2013.
Right.
And then the state froze everything, and so now we're, you know, years down the road with inflationary, you know, the costs that change, and then you have to redo some of the architect drawings, which of course every time you talk to them, that's another issue, and then, I've spent a lot of time talking to the Department of Ed about that, because they've made some changes to the actual overall amount. The 1.5 is actually reduced from the original. They made that change at the Department of Ed, which was frustrating, and so met with them a couple months ago when I was up there for another meeting, and it's, that's just what it is. They made that change and they moved some money around to different districts for different projects. And so, you know, so we're already coming in a little under what we, what originally was in this fund for this project. So that was already kind of a frustration. And then we know our architect fees, our JYL fees are going to, they're expensive. It's just expensive.
We're going to have to absorb some of the cost.
Yeah.
To move forward.
But we are anticipating the visit when they come here, because part of it is that, you know, we moved forward on some things in both of these buildings because we, you know, we were frozen and it's like, we got to do something. So they need to come on site and see what we've done, because we really feel like that's, and actually so does our consultant that we work with through Southeast Regional Resource Center. He said when they come see what's been done, it's going to adjust some of the things that, you know, and we're not looking for the Taj Mahal here. I mean, but we need it to be, it has to meet a lot of specs and that sort of thing, because it's kitchens, that's its own breed. But, you know, we're not looking for marble tile in these in these cafeterias. We are happy to have things that are, you know, practical and look nice and meet the standards. You know, that's, so we're, it's going to be fine, but it's been a lot of wrangling between architects and the Department of Ed. It's been a little frustrating. So, timeline-wise, that also means, I think you were asking about that a little bit too, we were still somewhat hopeful in January that we might actually get all of the bureaucracy pieces figured out and actually be able to get this out for RFP and, you know, maybe have it happen this summer. That's been the goal for 5 years. But it's not going to happen this summer. So, it's okay. We've got plans for work that we want to do to prep for it, and then we actually are going to probably do a graduated timeline that's going to happen in the fall. It's going to happen when school's in session. So we're going to have to do a kind of staggered approach to it. We would start with the high school, getting that ready to go so that Carly can do the cooking out of that kitchen. They can work on what they need to do in the elementary school. There's some plans to move some classrooms around actually this summer in the elementary in preparation for that, you know, so that the space will be ready for them and they can come, you know, do what they need to do. So it's going to be fine. Fall's better than another year down the road. So, you know, we'll make it work. I mean, we peeled walls off over there and still had school, you know, when we did the renovation. So we know we can do it. I think it's going to happen. We are, the tenacity is here for this project. It's not... They're not going to get rid of us. We keep bothering them.
So, again, Erica just gave a great overview. I mean, we've already put money into this project. We know it's been identified as a top need for the district, and so we want to move forward. And how do we come up with that participating share? A long time ago, when Dr. Thomason was here, we were working on the elementary siding project, and we actually had gone to the borough and asked for the participating share for that one. So we have been planning since that project was going on that we probably wouldn't go ask the borough for that, and we would try and fund it in-house ourselves. So we have a starting balance of $385,000 already in our kitchen remodel fund balance because we have been planning for this. We had the $120,000 from our spring revision that hopefully you will approve tonight, and I'd also like your approval to close the Infinite Visions and the Voice over IP phone system capital projects because they're done. They've already been they're done. There's almost $76,000 remaining, and I would propose that we would actually close those funds and move it into the kitchen remodel to get to our participating share with a little bit of a buffer.
And I think just to clarify why we're talking about, I mean, not going to the borough specifically for that participating share, because where that comes from is the Secure Rural Schools fund. So when they talk about giving us money or, you know, working with us on those participating shares, it's coming from that Secure Rural Schools Fund, which they you know, again, fortunately, we have that fund. They have, you know, there's, that's a buffer for us and for them. But if we, but that's for the regular, you know, sort of allotment of our 1.8 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's not that anything we come to them to ask for above and beyond that eats into that secure rural schools. And there's, you know, crickets on what's happening with that. So there, you know, there's no movement at the federal level to do anything additionally with secure rural schools. So. So we're managing the capital project participating shares within our funds there.
And we have pretty much been managing the capital
mm-hmm.
projects for the last 4 or 5 years through our budgets. And then, Erica, do you want to talk about the couple other projects that we're talking about doing this summer that don't have to, that are not part of the kitchen remodel?
Oh, well, I guess just those prep projects like we've talked about. There's going to be some costs involved with... we're going to be moving some classrooms around the elementary school to because what the plans for the original plans for that cafeteria project in order to have an actual kitchen over there is actually going to move into a class what is now currently a classroom on that end of the building. So we're going to move that special ed classroom into another classroom. We're actually going to create a kindergarten wing on that end of the building that the teachers are working on their input into what they want that to look like, the two classrooms actually being kind of a joined with a center bathroom, which is, would also be helpful for them. So there's going to be some cost associated with that shift, and so we'll see some plumbing. We're going to have to do some plumbing work down there for that, but that's been a, that's a need. And then we are, oh yeah, we're putting out an RFP for the for some plumbing changes in the high school as well, for service fees that we pay the borough to receive some to reduce those. It actually came from Carl and Dan have been talking about it too, but and they had Mike Bell come up and look at it. And we need to have smaller pipes, smaller meters, because we don't have the amount of water going through that we're paying the service fees for. So there'll be a cost for some plumbing changes for pipe changes, but. Will come out way ahead.
It'll be a cost savings in the long run.
Yeah.
I'm worried about how disruptive that'll be to the kids. A lot of construction noise and safety and.
Yeah, we like I say, we've got plans for that. I mean, I look back on what we did that year with peeling the walls off, and I actually cannot believe that we did that.
Sure.
When I think about at least in encasing it all in that end of the building, which is why we want to do the work on getting our kids into the right places before that, so that when the school year starts, they're already in their classrooms where they need to be, and then that end of the building is going to, you know, it'll have to be phased in. They'll have to do work after hours too, which is kind of what we did with that remodel before. Yeah, it'll be tricky. It'll take some staging, you know. It'll be interesting, but it is on that end. So even from that perspective, like I say, the remodel before we had
it was the whole building
across the hall from people teaching second grade, and they'd be peeling a wall off in the room across the hall, you know, that kind of thing. So.
Would you have to shut down that playground on that end of the building?
We'd have to put some. It just depends on how much equipment they need and what they're doing. You know, the remodel project required a lot of other equipment. I'm not sure. This is going to probably be more internal, you know, that way. But there's, you know, you can drive things across the back plate, you know, the back track area. Things can be staged on that end. We can, you know, we can move kids to the other end of the building if we have to. They're anticipating that they're talking a 2 to 3 month timeline for both projects. Mm-hmm. So we're not talking a year, and that's kind of where, you know, like, how long would we potentially be dealing with it? You know, a year? I hope not.
Shorter than the bus.
Less time than the bus. That's a good goal. That's
a really good goal.
What will they, if the kindergarten moves, what will those classrooms become? Will they be leased out to, like, the children's center for
no, because
or?
They're we're shifting things around. So there's a preschool special ed room on that end that's actually going to become the kitchen. So Ms. Marifern's room that she's in currently, that will become the kitchen.
And that's the one
she will move
right
next door.
Right before the cafeteria or
yes,
after the cafeteria?
Right before.
Okay.
It's next door to Mrs. Willis's.
Mm-hmm.
She will actually move into Mrs. Willis's. That's where the special ed room will be, and that also has bathrooms, which is where it should be. So the room that becomes vacant, for lack of a better word, is Miss Martin's room, actually. But they'll use that for testing and the things that they actually use the other room anyway. So
where the kindergartner will go.
Yes. So they'll move, they're going to make the wing starting down that, actually right across from the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the wing will be for the kindergarten. Is that pretty accurate?
Mm-hmm.
And then Children's Center has two rooms that they currently use and rent, you know, from us for Eagle's Nest. And that's where we're actually going to try to do some double duty maybe down there with the music room. They may have to move equipment and able to use one of the rooms down there. So, but that's still beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
They're still our kids. You know, we've tried to work with that with them too, and it does bring in a little bit of revenue for us, and it works well for them. And, you know, it's our kids leaving school and going to Eagle's Nest in the same building. So we got to work out logistics with that too, because even this summer they're going to be in the building. Children's Center will be in the building, you know, for Eagle's Nest on that end, and our crew will be working on the kindergarten wing. So, always staging. Always staging.
Well, that's all I have. Do you guys have any questions, comments?
Does the budget revision tonight include this transfer?
The 120?
No, the closing.
No, it doesn't have the closing out of the Infinite Visions of the VoiceOver IP. And we could bring that to the next board meeting as an action item.
I wonder if it needs to be, if it's just all the same capital improvements.
That's what I'm not sure.
That's what
within,
I wasn't...
Within
I,
the
not
capital
sure.
projects,
I would
I'm not sure
question
what we have to
even
with those funds.
Because they're all the same.
Yeah.
We don't choose that.
Of capital improvements.
They're all designated funds for capital, so...
I suppose if the auditors would care, then you'll need to...
I don't think
so.
It does, because we're not dealing with general fund. I mean, the 120,000 transfer out of the general fund into capital,
that needs to be
approved upon, and that needs to be disclosed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's part of the budget revision, so...
All right. Any other questions?
Thank
you.
You
can turn it off. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks
very much.
All right. So the motion is to approve the fiscal year 18 spring budget revision as presented by Karen. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Nope. All right. We'll move on to 16.2. The Associated Teachers of Petersburg 2019-2021 Negotiated Agreement. I move that we approve the ATP 2019-2021 contract. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Jay. Are we going to have any discussion?
We can if you want. I mean, we've had some discussion.
Could you give a few highlights maybe?
During executive session, we can talk a little bit about the... It's a three-year contract, which is how they go. So it was the year to do it, and we negotiated the 2% increased over 3 years, so 0.5%, 1.5%, very reasonable increases. And it was a real positive process overall. I think Mara and Cheryl were the other members of the negotiating team, and Karen and. So it's a good group of people to work with, very professional, and everybody working toward the same goal of providing the best opportunities for our kids, too, while still having a good working environment for our teachers. So any changes you want to talk about? Or
I don't think so, but after we do approve the agreement, it does go on the website, correct?
Uh-huh, yep.
So it is available if you're... Radio Land, if you're interested in going to look at that negotiated agreement that we pass or don't pass tonight, that will go on to the website so you can access it there. All right.
And the teachers have already voted on it?
They did. They ratified before spring break. There weren't a ton of other changes, really. There weren't a lot of major significant changes to language in the contract. There was, I would say, probably the biggest financial other change was the discussion about the insurance and that there was a process for reimbursement for staff that had been in place two contracts ago that we actually used within our conversation to offset some of the costs for the raise.
Okay. Seeing no more questions, the motion is to approve the ATP 2019-2021 contract. All in favor, signify by saying aye, or do we need a roll call vote for a month?
Because it's money.
We'll do a roll call.
Okay. Mara Lutonsky.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Cheryl Fial.
Yes.
Jay Lister.
Yes.
All right, 16.3, fiscal year 19 tenured teacher contracts. The motion is, I move that we approve the fiscal year 19 tenured teaching contracts as listed, and it was listed in our board packets of what tenured teachers that we have within our district. And so the process, so is there a second? Seconded by Cheryl. So the process is that we would be extending the contracts to the teachers, and they would return them by
April 20th.
Mm-hmm. Right. So any other discussion about the tenured teacher contracts? So all in favor of approving the fiscal year 19 tenured teacher contracts as listed in your board packet, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. 16.4 is just informational, notice of intent to retire. So the board recognizes the acceptance by the superintendent of classified staff member Marita Davis. She submitted her letter of intent to retire effective May 31st of this year, so the end of this school year. So thank you to her for all of her years of service to our school district. We really appreciate all the work that she has done over the years. All right, 16.5, leave of absence request. I move that we approve the 2018 to 2019 one-year leave of absence request for Colleen Schwartz, instructional assistant as per the PDSP, Classified Negotiated Agreement, Article 14.07. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Cheryl. I don't know if there's any discussion or if anyone wants to have any discussion. It's within their contract that they can request, that those staff members can request a leave of absence for a year. And so she has. It is...
some travel. I think they're taking a trip to the that she had been planning for a while. So
it is an unpaid leave of absence.
Mm-hmm.
If anybody's wondering about that. All right. Any other questions? All in favor of approving the 1 year leave of absence request for Colleen Schwartz, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Signify by saying nay. All right, motion passes. 16.6, personnel hire. I move that we approve the personnel hire of Kathy Brantuis as classified staff in the food service aide position. Is there a second?
A second.
All right, seconded by Jay. I think she's been helping. She's been subbing previously, and then now is hired, so I think it'll be great.
She's great, super positive.
All right, so all in favor of approving the personnel hire of Katie Brantuis, sorry, in the food service aide position, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion passes. 16.7, personnel hire for the year.
This is where we'll add the addendum items, right?
Yes.
Personnel hire section.
That's not on here. All right, 16.6. It is personnel hire of, I move that we approve the personnel hire of Christine Ware as classified staff in the instructional aid position, part-time, correct? Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Cheryl. Do we know where is this in the high school? Is it in the middle school? Or high school?
It'll be in the elementary school. It has to do with a student who's another student who's qualified in a preschool special ed program. So.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Any other discussion? All right. So, motion is to approve the personnel hire of Christine Ware as classified staff for instructional aid. I think it's a paraprofessional. They're called paraprofessionals. For part-time. So there is all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, signify by saying aye. All right, moving right along. 16.7, personnel hire for the year 2018.
I'm sorry, we still have Alex John extra duty contract.
I need these in paper.
Addendum.
You have it?
It's not good without paper. Oh, they're all. Well, it should have all been listed under the same one, but.
Well, that's right.
All right. So I move that we approve the extra duty contract for Alex Young for the high school baseball assistant position. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second. Any discussion? Seeing none.
I don't know him at all.
He was there last year.
Oh, was he?
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
great.
So, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed. Thanks. All right, 16.7. The personnel hire for the 2018-2019 school year. I move that we approve the employment of Timothy Shumway as the high school language arts teacher for the 2018-2019 school year. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Jay. Any discussion?
Will he be teaching?
In the
arts.
High school language
high school,
arts.
Possibly some middle school. He's also social studies certified as well. He's been teaching in Copper River, most of it through distance delivery. He's married to Ruby McMahon, previously Ruby McMahon, who's recently employed at the hospital. They have an 8-month old. Right?
Yep, she's a nurse.
Yeah.
Moved back to town. She did. He married her. They came together. There we go.
Highly qualified, though, in a several.
Yeah,
reached
yeah.
The highly qualified rating or whatever, passed all those
highly,
tests.
Highly recommended. It is the highest recommendation we've seen in a while.
Yeah.
Was the position, though, also including a foreign language at the time?
Mm-hmm.
And so has that been split out?
Can't ask really complicated questions.
So we're
still
searching for a foreign
still
language.
Looking at our options there. Yeah.
All right. Any other questions about Mr. Shumway's employment? All in favor of the approval of the employment of Timothy Shumway as the language arts and the high school teacher for the 2018-2019 school year, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion passes. 16.8, sale and disposal of books, equipment, and supplies, according to Board Policy 3270. Looks like the music department will be disposing of or getting, I'm guessing he's going to try and sell them,
yes.
Like he previously had. Drum kits from the 1960s, snares, tom-toms, floor toms, soft cases for the drums. Okay. I move that we approve the disposal and the sale of the listed inventory. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Sarah. Any discussion? Does he already have a buyer, or is it going to go up on?
He wants it to go on.
Buy sell trade.
Buy sell trade, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a collectible.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is it all one piece?
Minus,
it's all one set.
Minus symbol scans and hardware,
mm-hmm.
but
there's
everything else.
But it does
mm-hmm.
have some sort of collector's.
So it's going to be sold together. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If
so it's not like just being pieced out. So don't just show up asking for a bass drum. You're not going
to
get it.
Right.
We'd
like to sell it as a
whole set. All right. So So all in favor of the approval of the disposal of sale of listed inventory, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? All right, 17. Any additional comments from board members?
Yes.
Yes.
So last month we got like a little card from some people saying thank you for our service and etc. And I appreciate it, but I also, going through the negotiations and then watching, this state is asking and they want 5%. And I'm like, gosh, I wish I could give our teachers 5% because they do so much. I don't know if parents or community members understand how much our teachers actually put into our kids. Are we perfect? No. But each teacher doesn't just teach their class. There are several things they do before school and after school. They just don't, I'm done with my class, I'm done with you, see ya. I mean, we have a high school teacher that comes in at night and Skypes with kids that are on trips, and helps them with their homework and stuff. And it's just, we have an amazing school district, and I know that some people complain and this and that, but I think we have great teachers here, and I just want to say that. I mean, we don't get paid for what we do, but, you do so much, it's like, what do we do? We say yes and no.
You do a lot.
But, I mean, our teachers and our administrators and our everybody, but they just do a lot. And I just think that sometimes other people forget that. So
they
and they're people
them.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they have kids and they have, I just want to say that.
Yes, certainly. I mean, the teachers are invested in the school district just as much as, if not more, than the four of us sitting up here. So.
Yeah.
Sorry, Erica, you're just
I'm good.
Anyway, that's all I have to say. I just appreciate, I know that sometimes they don't feel like they are, but I appreciate them.
It's really nice.
So.
That means a lot.
Thank you.
All right. Upcoming dates and meeting announcements. If you have any others to throw in as I'm going through, please do so. March 22nd, pastries with parents at 5:15 p.m. in the middle school and high school library.
Can you briefly explain what that is again for anybody who's...
It's a fun time.
It is.
Just in case people are listening and they don't know what it is.
That's...
You go. No, you go.
Come up. Come up.
Quick.
Come stand on a box.
30-second explanation.
We just...
Sorry,
it's
I should have asked
no,
about
it's
earlier,
fine.
But it...
It's kind of a time... We go through a very quick, small agenda that we have, kind of talk about some highlights, what's happening in the school, what's kind of coming up. And then it's kind of, what do you guys want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys feel at the middle school age? What's happening? What is your children saying at home? How is sixth grade life?
So it's for middle school?
Yeah, it's for middle school.
Okay.
Yep, yep. And so we kind of talk, and that we had, I think we only had one or two at one of them, but it was one of the greatest conversations we stayed here for about 45 minutes just talking about sixth grade life. And, this is what we're seeing the change when they're at home from fifth grade. Now they're sixth grade. Oh, my gosh. And so it's kind of open-ended. We talk about some very brief things in the beginning. Talk about MAPS testing and what they're doing, how they're feeling when they're coming home, and just life itself.
Okay.
It's awesome.
And you have pastries.
And we have pastries. We have donuts. We have water. Yep.
Water. To ruin your dinner.
And then I think we got apple strudel bread. That was really good. That was good.
We have to mix up the pastries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And more water.
And you make it all, right?
Mr. Brawl, Mr. Dorman.
We slave all day.
That's what I thought.
Mr. Dorman and I slave all day. Yeah.
Even if you don't have a kid, come and talk to these two.
Yeah.
It's cool.
That's great.
All right. March 23rd is middle school activity night from 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. And that is in the lobby? Where's the middle
commons.
School activity
in the
night?
Commons, right?
In the commons?
It's kind of all over, but start in the commons.
Start in the commons. March 24th is the jazz band fundraiser at the Sons of Norway. There are tickets circulating out there, I know, for sure. Go listen to some jazz music.
Great.
And have some appetizers.
Mm-hmm.
7 p.m. to 9 p.m. That's at the Sons of Norway Hall. March 30th is our work session, where we'll get the curriculum presentation. That's the school board's work session. For PE and health, as well as foreign language, it's 2:30 start time. Mark it in your calendars, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Setting board agenda. When is the board meeting? On the 10th? So the board agenda, when would you like that done by, Irene, since you're going to be putting it on the new system?
Do we want to do that Friday, the
30th?
What
am I trying to say?
Too soon?
Or 6th?
I won't be here on the
30th. 6th? 6th
of April?
Well, it can't be on the 6th of April. We have the board meetings on the 10th.
That's goes out.
Right?
Oh, so it has to be the week before the 30th?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because our meeting's
on
the 10th.
Like,
so there's our work session. You could do it before or after that.
Yeah, on the same day.
You're gone that afternoon.
I have to be gone. What about
that morning?
Or about the 3rd.
We could just write notes for her.
Yeah.
We could do that.
It's fine with me.
Before or after?
Before?
Before?
What day is it? Friday?
Or after?
I can do it after. If you want someone new.
But
I've done
fresh.
It for a long time.
Yes. Sure. Do it after.
I'll do it after. Or.
That's fine.
Cool.
That's up to you guys.
You go, girl.
Okay, so
you're gonna be there though.
Can you be somewhere? Does that fine for you?
Yes.
So the 30th,
4:05 p.m.
4:05.
Okay, so that's Mara and
Cheryl.
I hope so.
Okay.
Sorry, work.
Yeah, our work session till 3:30. You guys bumped it to 4.
All right.
So Campus Connection will be on April 10th. With someone other than just Erica.
Well, it won't be me. I need to say that because I will be at the legislative fly-in.
And you won't be at
the board
meeting.
And I won't be at the board meeting either.
Okay.
Because it's that night. Which is fine. It's all fine.
Blinker. Going on.
I'm usually... I could probably switch with Meg Lister that week. I'm usually in the kindergarten classroom from 12 to 1 on Tuesdays. But I could probably switch with her that week.
Do you want me to put you down, Sarah?
Sure. Can you remind
Sarah
me?
Sarah and Mara?
We'll decide after the agenda set.
You're going to have to answer for something.
All right, I'm going to remind myself a few days ahead of time. So.
Any other reminders about dates that anyone else would like to throw out there? I know that April 11th was...
Exploratory
night for the elementary school.
April 5th.
April 5th, get your kindergartners ready.
Mm-hmm.
Bring in the birth certificates to the school.
And our migrant ed night on March 27th.
Mm-hmm.
March 27th, migrant ed night informational meeting. Right, and it was at the Salty Pantry?
Mm-hmm.
At the Salty Pantry. So that'll always be a good time. And then in service, district-wide or just elementary school, April 12th and 13th?
District-wide.
12th and 13th, no school of April.
Mm-hmm.
When's graduation, just to put on the calendar? I mean, that's
day after Memorial Day.
Day after Memorial Day.
May
29th. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've been asked that and I should know.
Okay.
Tuesday the 12th.
Any future agenda items? None? All right. I move that we adjourn at 8:58 p.m. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Cheryl. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Adjourn.
This live broadcast of the Petersburg School Board meeting is brought to you by KFSK and Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, helping clients find out how to protect any valuable asset, from stamp or teacup collections to houses and boats of all sizes, and everything in between. Plenty of information from the local agents is available. Petersburg Wrangell Insurance, 772-3858.